Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WESFEAR Support Technical Exchange Conference. Today's call is being recorded. And now I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Chagami. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Audrey, and welcome to the WESFEAR Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is best practices for clustering WebSphere Process Server version 6.0.2. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on the WESFEAR Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. Once you're in the meeting, you'll see this presentation. We recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the view in the toolbar at the top of your screen and select Make Shared Area Full Screen. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, or if you'd like to download a copy of the presentation, please go to the WESFEAR Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 701-01103 in the search box found at the very top of the page. Again, that number is 701-0103. This call is being recorded, so you can play it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WESFEAR Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a quick question and answer period. Today's presenter is Sharath Srinivas. Srinivas, advisory software engineer, WPS L2 team. Responsibilities of his include supporting SOA-based WebSphere Process Server and WebSphere Business Service Fabric. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to presentation over to Sharath.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharath Srinivas, and I work for the WebSphere Process Server Level 2 team. And today, I'm going to present the WebSphere Process Server cluster in, topologies, the techniques, and the best practices. Let's start the best practices and the clustering topologies and the techniques for WebSphere Process Server 6.0.2. And I assume, when we do this, I would assume all the mandatory fixes have been applied and are ready to go. Slide number 2. The agenda for today's presentation is why the clustering, and what are the components that needs to be clustered, and the basics of clustering, and the deployment pattern. In here, first we have to understand, why the clustering, which is for availability and the scalability, and then within the WebSphere Process Server, we are interested in application servers or the WebSphere Process Server, the messaging engines, and the databases clustering. And so right here, I'm going to focus mainly on clustering the WebSphere Process Server. So database clustering and security are, there are kind of well-established, practices. And there are, umpteen number of, techniques which have been, well-tested and used. So the database clustering and the security are out of this, out of the scope of this presentation. So here, the availability is usually provided by the redundant, Java virtual machines or hardware components. And then, we have the scalability, which is essentially the increased workload on the process server. And, slide number 3. So, as we see in, this chart, the building blocks and infrastructures of, WebSphere Process Server includes the process server itself. And just note that some of these applications or infrastructures can be distributed for load balance. And messaging is, you know, the backbone for the process server, choreography, the human task manager, CEI. And in here, the application servers. So within the application server, it could be like, you know, the WebSphere process server container, you know, which has SCA runtime, the people engine, the human tasks, and common event infrastructure. And then we have the messaging infrastructure, which are needed by, you know, SCA, the choreographer, human tasks, and common event infrastructures again. And the WebSphere's default messaging provider, that is the default messaging JMS provider, is SIB, Service Integration Bus. And note that, you know, you can use other JMS messaging providers, but SIB is the most recommended at this point of time. And the databases are needed by all the, you know, above components for persistency, the transaction, and the data store. So all the components like the SCA, the choreographer, human tasks, the messaging engines, common event infrastructure, they all need, you know, databases for data store. And just another point here, for the messaging infrastructure, you can use the base WebSphere, that is base WAS version, you know, 602.17 in this case, because the processor was 602 supports the base was 602.17. So, you know, the user may choose basic, you know, WebSphere for their messaging engine, you know, cluster or messaging engine infrastructures. And so essentially all these components here, the application servers are the process server, and the messaging infrastructure and databases, they all could be, you know, in for clustering for availability and scalability. Next slide, please. Okay, the clustering basics. So the first question would be like, you know, why are we doing the clustering? It is essentially to, you know, increase the system's availability and the workload scalability, right? So these are the primary reasons that one would go for a clustering techniques. And then you have the resource utilization, which is especially true in the case, you know, when you use an active-active, you know, kind of topologies. Also, you can have a centralized, you know, administration and workload management. And having a centralized administration makes that much easier to, you know, kind of administer and author, you know, the design and troubleshooting. The availability and scalability, right? The availability, you know, it's just the ability to always have the applications available for end users. It is, you know, difficult and expensive to achieve 100% availability. But, you know, some of those availability could be logical questions, and, you know, some other techniques might include the hardware, you know, hardware expenses. And the scalability is the ability to grow the capacity and the load on the server as and when needed. And the availability and scalability are largely independent, and it is a challenge to achieve the true availability and scalability together. So in whatever way the user chooses to either go with availability and scalability are independent of two, you know, just plan in advance so that, you can get into your requirement, you know, before heading into the design. Next slide, please. All right. So this slide kind of gives an overview picture of, you know, what are the clustered components, you know, what are the components that we need to cluster, and what are all the components that are involved. And so again here, you know, just to emphasize, the database, you know, can be clustered using, you know, the age-old techniques, which is, you know, out of scope for this presentation. And we are, you know, focusing mainly on, you know, process server and messaging infrastructure. So this chart gives a overall picture of, you know, what are all the components that need to be, you know, considered for clustering in a process server environment. Next slide.
Before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can still access the presentation by going to IBM.com and typing 701-0103 in the search box found at the very top of the page. A technical document with a PDF will display. Thank you. I'll now return the presentation back to Sharath.
Thanks. Okay. Here, it's the databases. So, there are, you know, all these features like the business process choreographer relationships, business rules, the common event infrastructures, messaging engines, you know, they all use the databases. And as we all understand, the database acts as a data store for persistence in transaction mechanism. And again, we have the remote versus local database. This is, you know, user's choice, and perhaps remote DB is most commonly used topology. As we, you know, go through the settings for WPS, the process server cluster, and several databases are required, and based on, you know, the database administrator and the users or the company's policies, either a separate database or, you know, separate schemas are created to make use of, you know, the process server. It is preferable to have separate databases for, you know, the individual and the independent database tuning, but at the same time, you know, it is it's you know, user's choice. And here, you know, again, like in as the chart says, the ultimate decision will be up to the database administrator. And choosing between the separate databases or schemas depend on the need of individual performance tuning or ease of administration. Next slide. This one gives the database contents. As seen in this chart, different databases are created for each of the process server, messaging engine, business process choreography, and common event infrastructure. And for the messaging engine, you know, the MEDB database can have multiple schemas for each of the messaging infrastructure. Next slide. So this one, this chart, you know, shows a big picture of the architectural and the design view of one of the commonly used WebSphere process server cluster topologies. And if you could note here, you know, We have the horizontal scaling, you know, which essentially exists when there are members of an, you know, application or process server cluster on multiple physical machines. And we also have the vertical, you know, scaling, which refers to setting up multiple application servers on one machine. And these are done, you know, usually by creating the cluster members. And so the topologies might include just the horizontal scaling, or it could be a combination of horizontal and vertical. You know, it's user's discretion on how they would like to go for, you know, the cluster techniques. Next slide. Here, the messaging in WebSphere application server. So as I said in one of my previous slides, we could use the base WebSphere application server in S6 for the SIB or the messaging infrastructure clustering. So the SIB or the bus is a logical, you know, messaging resource. Whereas the messaging engine is associated with the physical messaging, you know, infrastructure. As shown in this chart, the SIB or the messaging engine in this particular, you know, picture is a non-clustered environment of the messaging engine. And there will be one messaging engine per, you know, the SIB per server or per application server. As I said, you know, the SIB is the logical messaging, and messaging engines are actually created whenever, you know, an application server or cluster is added as a member to the service integration bus. Slide 10. This chart, you know, shows a clustered messaging engine configuration. As we can see, there is one messaging engine each in cluster members. And in this picture, you know, they are in an active and standby mode. So, you know, at any point of time, you can add a second messaging engine to make it, you know, active configuration, which is like a slight variation of in the picture shown in this chart. Note, you know, in that case, it will lead into a partitioned queue with, you know, the second messaging engine having its own database. And the second messaging engine will be created using, you know, the name convention of the cluster name and, you know, the digits and the bus name, whereas, you know, the digits represent the numerical value in an increasing order, like 000. It's a three-digit numerical in a code, 000 or 001, and etc. And it essentially represents the number of messaging engines in the cluster. So after adding and, you know, starting these additional messaging engines, using, you know, all these instructions, you can you will find that both the active messaging engines could be, you know, in one single member of the cluster or the other member. It depends on, you know, whichever server starts first. So at the same time, if you would like to make a load balance, and if our intention is to, you know, distribute the active messaging engine across both of the cluster members to attain, you know, to attain a true high availability and a workload management, then you can actually create a policy to start the messaging engine on a specified node of our specified node on application server of the cluster. And it can be achieved, or you can actually create a policy by navigating into servers, core groups, and core group settings and default core group and policies. You can click new and add new policies, and it will it's kind of self-explanatory, and it will walk you through on how you can set the additional properties to enable the messaging engine to run on a specified node of the cluster. At the same time, whenever you have a messaging engine just make a note that it always run as one of n policy. This is by the default, and the first server that starts runs the active messages, and the rest of the messaging engine, the rest of the application servers, will have a standby messaging engine. Slide 11. It is the clustering message. It's clustering a messaging and application servers together here. In this configuration, there could be just a single consumer based on this particular chart that we have, and the failover is guaranteed, but not scalability. So in this one, the messaging engine is co-located with the WebSphere process server application. And in other words, the messaging engine runs within the same cluster as process server. And the queues are non-partitioned. In this case, the message-driven beans that run in the WebSphere process server application will be forcefully bound to the local messaging engine. So whenever an application server has a local messaging engine, it will be forcefully bound to the local messaging engine. This is, a design point of, the SI bus. And if at all, an MDB has a local ME available, it will always, get connected to it. Even if the messaging engine happens to be inactive, it will still get connected to the local messaging engine. So obviously, this option implies that we have some limitations with scalability. So especially if you are using long-running business processes, or the asynchronous SCA invocations, which essentially makes extensive use of messaging engines. It is not recommended to use this topology. So use this topology. In other words, use this topology if you will not be using long-running processes or asynchronous FCA calls. And you can have a variation of this topology with the partition queues, which offers scalable environment where you will have multiple message-driven beans active at the same time, though working on a portion of the different partition queues or a portion of the incoming messages. They'll be working on different partitions of the same queues. And the messaging engines, scale up, as and how many number of cluster members you have. So, in this case, when you have a partitioned messaging engine or partitioned destinations, so in this case, there are different trade-offs, and one of them is you cannot have a sequence or the messaging sequence in a preservation. The preserving of the messaging sequence is not guaranteed. And also in this case, you know, the true failover of the messaging engine is not guaranteed in that solution. You know, just to take a typical example, if there is a messaging engine 1 on a cluster member 1 and messaging engine 2 on a cluster member 2, and then, like, you know, if the messaging engine 1 crashes and gets activated on the messaging engine 2, in that case, you know, though the messaging engine gets activated on the second node of the second member of the cluster, but there are no consumers, you know, who would be available to use that on the other server. And also the any you know, messages in the first partition at the time of crash will be, you know, kind of stranded. And these things, you know, essentially happens due to, you know, there would have been an already established connection pools, which are not easy to release back to the pool or, you know, purge them. Slide number 12. So in this one, you know, it's a separate cluster for applications and messaging. So both the application servers are active and consume the messages concurrently. And messaging engine cluster could be in an active standby mode, or you can also have an active mode with the partitioned queues. So scalability may be an issue with respect to the environment, and this topology allows to achieve a true scalability of the process server applications, because it allows multiple MDBs or the message driven beans to be active at the same time, and it also allows to tune and configure the WebSphere process server cluster independently of the messaging engine cluster. So you can tune the messaging engine cluster and process server cluster separately. So, and a small variation of the topology shown in this picture would be, like, you know, the process server cluster and the messaging engine cluster with multiple messaging engines, which means, you know, partitioned queues. This topology allows full scalability and, you know, separate administration of the process server cluster and messaging engine cluster. However, because of the partition destinations, there are some considerations, you know, that you need to keep in mind, which I just explained with respect to preserving the sequence of the messages, and also, like, you know, potential imbalance of the workload. So depending on how the various partitions are populated. So that kind of explains, like, you know, the variations with separate application server cluster and a messaging engine cluster. Slide 13. So this one explains, you know, the messaging infrastructure clustering with the partitioned destinations. So once a cluster is added as a member to the service integration bus, you can add it multiple times, which creates multiple messaging engines for the same bus. This gives a true scalability with the messaging infrastructure. And this, technique, as I explained, it results in a partitioned destination, which is, like, it would be, like, kind of working with a set of a portion of the actual incoming messages. And so there are some limitations, as I already explained, with these, techniques. And this, solution implies, the destination on service integration bus is, partitioned. So these, you know, topologies are not always adequate when requirement such as preserving of, you know, sequence or enforced message consumer may be statically bound to one particular partition of the queue. So in, you know, as I explained, you know, on the previous slide, you might end up with, you know, stranded messages that nobody is, you know, available to pick it up or consume if a particular consumer partition is not ready. So this topology is recommended only if, you know, messaging infrastructure happens to be the bottleneck in the clustering technique. Slide 14. So this, you know, summarizes the messaging cluster, messaging engine and cluster. So as previously explained, applications and messaging engines in the same cluster, you know, it's, there are two possible configuration, a single MDP active or multiple messaging engines, that is, in a one per server, which results in a partition queue. And the applications and the messaging engines in a separate cluster, one with non-partitioned destinations, you know, applications are fully scalable and highly available, and messaging engines are also highly available. And then you have partitioned destinations where applications and messaging engines scalable and available, but, you know, not all applications can work with a partition queue. Depending on, you know, the applications, you may want to, you know, choose the right topology. Slide 15. So, you know, setting up a simple cluster topology, the one we have in this chart is more like, you know, a production style with environment, you know, which is fully available. And in here, the only caveat is, you know, the scalability of the messaging engine, as it is a cluster with one messaging engine. And so with if you really want to, like, you know, achieve a better scalability in this scenario, the only choice would be to go with, you know, powerful systems. And so in this one, you know, as I explained in one of the earlier slides, you can choose, depending on your hardware requirement and, you know, combinations, you can actually go for horizontal or a combination of horizontal and vertical scalability. And the one in the picture is more like a you know, horizontal scalability with different systems for application servers and the messaging engines. Slide 16. This one, like, you know, setting up a WebSphere process server cluster, you know, this chart actually gives an idea of, you know, how you can start working on setting up a cluster. You know, you have to create the main process server databases, you know, which is typically WPR, CSDB. And you can actually create the schema and objects manually using the scripts, or, you know, let the deployment manager profile creation wizard, you know, create those for you. And run those, you know, scripts and make the database ready, especially if you are using a remote database, which is often the case in, you know, like production or pre-production environment. especially if you choose to have a remote database. And even like while creating the profile, you can do it even on a remote, but you probably have to install the database client on in this case like DB2 client on the machine. And if you are actually using Oracle database, then there are separate scripts which you might need to run on the database to enable the XA transaction. And those scripts are available for Oracle database. So in this one, like you just need to find the right balance between creating separate databases or creating all the schemas and tables in a single database. As I told you, like this one with separate databases, you have capability to fine tune and individually monitor and tweak the performance for databases. Whereas going with multiple schemas in the same database could be useful if you are doing on a development environment with a large scale on a different set of databases. Slide 17. This is like the step two in setting up the process server cluster. You have to create the deployment manager profile, and then you have to create the WebSphere process server profile. You have to create the deployment manager using the process server profile creation wizard. And depending on if you have already run the script, or if you would like to set up the database and the tables while deploying running the profile creation, so you can either make the database ready to use or create while profile creation. And you also have to create the process server custom profile on each node and the basic WebSphere application server custom profiles for the messaging infrastructure. And so once you have all these things and federated the nodes, and you should be having an empty cell. Slide 18. So this is step three in setting up the process server cluster. So you have to create the messaging engine cluster. You can add any number of members to this messaging engine cluster, and then you have to create the SCA service integration bus. With 602, we have the new business integration configuration wizard, which makes the life simpler and easier for creating and setting up the process server cluster. And and also while creating the messaging engines, you can choose to either run the scripts to create the schema and tables, or you can actually create those tables at the time of running the business integration wizard, configuration wizard. Slide 19. This is the step four. In here, you have to create the process server cluster. Again, just like the messaging engine server, you have to add a member. And while creating the member, make sure that you pick the default process server profile as against the default profile which is provided by the base WebSphere application server, and use the new business integration configuration wizard to set up the SCA configuration, the business rule management applications, and the process choreographer and human task manager containers. So and once you set up all these things, you probably have to make some changes, some configuration changes, manually, to have the process server, fully operational and functional. And then, once you have those changes done, just, restart the messaging engine cluster and then a process server clusters, and, you should be all set to go. Slide 20. So, the previous test, we did not set up the CEI event server and CEI MDP applications. So you can choose to set up the CEI configuration steps in a server. And it could be on the same cluster as process server, or it could be in a separate cluster by itself. Slide 21. This slide explains a more advanced topologies, where you really want to have a robust, cluster topology with separation of application servers, application cluster separate from the messaging engine for the business process choreography and other applications with the common event infrastructure. And you will have, two for the infrastructure cluster, that is the messaging engine and common event infrastructure servers, and the separate one for applications, which is, in another application servers and messaging engine, cluster. Slide 22. So this is like, a beginning of the step-by-step walkthrough. So, we'll just, I'm not going to go through the entire step of setting up the cluster. We kind of assume, certain steps have been already taken care. And, I'll just explain, some of the important steps that we need to take care of. Slide 23. So as I just said, while walking through the introduction, we assume that, profiles have been created and nodes have been federated and the messaging engine cluster already created. And I'm just going to take you guys through creating the process server cluster. This one is using, and also the new wizard to set up the SCA and business process choreographer and, human task manager containers, and some of the manual changes which I previously said to, changes needed for the configuration to achieve the cluster. And sometimes, you just have to look into, some of the environment variables. The DB2 universal JDBC driver path and universal JDBC driver path. So I have seen ones where it was kind of either missed or overwritten by the node from the node or the server level variables. So that is one thing, and also you can just choose the default profile for the messaging engine cluster, as you just need, the basic WebSphere application server infrastructure for that one. Slide 24. So this one, you know, explains creating the WebSphere process server cluster, you know, the member name, and then you have to select the node, you know, judicially, like, you know, you have to choose the node which one has the WebSphere process server profile, or, you know, the WebSphere process server, you know, binaries, you know, installed on that node. So you have to delicately choose the node, you know, which already has the process server profile or the binaries. And the other important note here, you know, you have to make sure to pick the right template in, you know, for a WebSphere process server member, you know, it should be the default process server. So this is what we use for the process server. And a difference here with the messaging engine is, you know, you would use the default profile, you know, available from the WebSphere application server. Slide 25. Okay. As I said, like, you know, while configuring the SCA infrastructure on messaging, you know, engine cluster, so, you know, we can use the new wizard, which is the business integration configuration wizard, is made available from 6.02 onwards. And, you know, in this case, you know, select the messaging engine cluster and then, you know, click on the business integration configuration wizard, which is, you know, introduced in 6.02. This kind of, you know, simplifies the configuration of the cluster and, you know, makes the life, you know, all that easier to set up the cluster. So once you click on the business integration and configuration, it will, you know, walk you through the next steps. Slide 26. So in here, you know, in this dialogue, you have to, you know, select the local local under SCA setup, sorry, local under setup SCA destinations. So this is, you know, just, you know, remember this is the setting for the messaging engine cluster. So this step will actually set up the SCA buses on the messaging engine cluster. And installation of other applications like, you know, the business the business rule manager, process, you know, business processes, the human task manager, you know, should not be selected in this case. So choose the right cluster, you know, the messaging engine cluster, and use local SCA destination here to set up, you know, the SCA buses on the messaging engine cluster. Slide 27. So in here, you know, select you have to specify the SCA SI bus JDBC provider. Select the XA JDBC driver provider, and you have to provide, you know, the username and password, and yeah, and then, you know, click next. So 28 slide, number 28. So in that screen, here, you know, you have to specify the data sources and database information for the messaging engine data store. And, you know, notice that, you know, we have create tables, you know, selected. If you are using a database which was created as, you know, indicated in the previous section, previous slides, using the, you know, DB scripts, you know, you might opt to leave this, you know, checkbox, you know, unchecked. And you have to select the configuration destination location here, and make sure that you have the right schema names and the database names, and it's the same for the system bus, the SCA system bus, as well as the application SCA application bus. And just notice that we have set the database here in our MEDB with different schemas, SCA SYS and SCA APP. And next slide, 29. This one. Is about the SCA configuration, and once you have the configuration set up, you know, this is what you should see in your, you know, these are the components or the artifacts which has been created. You would see, you know, two service integration buses, one for the SCA system and the other one for SCA application. And then you have, you know, the SI bus should have a member, you know, which is a cluster, in this case the ME, the messaging engine cluster. And also, you know, if you could see the data store is, you know, set to whatever schema name that, you know, we applied in the previous step. SCA SI buses, you know, system and application buses are only created after the business integration wizard is executed. So just verify that, you know, you have each of these buses, and also there is, you know, at this point of time, you know, there is only one member as we added, you know, only one member. And slide 30. This is configuring the WebSphere process server cluster. The business integration configuration for the, you know, WebSphere process server cluster. So in here, you know, we would like to use the business integration configuration, you know, wizard available from 602. For configuring the business process choreographer and human task applications. So in this case, you know, to execute the wizard, you know, you just have to select the WebSphere process server and then click on business integration configuration link. So in here, so the important note here is, you know, select the remote for SCA destination. That is, you know, set up SCA destination should be selected for remote. Because, you know, the WebSphere process server cluster uses the SCA service integration buses we have already created on the messaging engine cluster. So this is where, you know, you differentiate, you know, the message driven bean to be binding locally or remotely. So we have selected, you know, to configure the business rules manager and the business process container and human task manager here. And and also, like, you know, make sure you specify the right JDBC driver that you are using. Essentially for, you know, the human task manager and business process choreographer. And it also, you know, requires your username and password. Slide 31. This one, you know, configuring the process server again, you know, the next step. Make sure you point to the right location for the SCA infrastructure for the messaging engine. So you have to choose the remote destination location, and you know, you have to pick the right messaging engine cluster. And then, you know, you enable CA, check the enable services at startup time, and you know, it just enables CA emission, but it does not actually configure the CA event server. And we also, you know, choose to install the business rules manager here. And so, yeah, as I said, you know, use a remote destination location as indicated in this one picture, so that, you know, the application as part of process server cluster are configured to use the remote SCA destination. That is, you know, we have already installed on the messaging engine cluster. Slide 32. This one, you know, the business process choreographer setup, and you know, this one requires your username and password for the databases, and choose the right driver here. And just notice that, you know, this wizard actually does not ask you for the name of the database. It actually assumes it to be BPEDB. And so this is where, you know, we probably have to make changes if necessary. And if you happen to have a different database name and settings for, you know, the business process choreographer. And this, you know, this dialog actually allows you to configure the business choreographer explorer. So, you know, you may, you know, choose to skip this dialog by checking the config, you know, with the business process container, which is the traditional wizard which was available in, you know, 601. So, you know, and we just choose to use this new wizard here, and you know, have the BPC Explorer installed. Slide 33. So once you have all those configurations set, you should see, you know, you should get a message in the console indicating, you know, successful completion, and you know, you should be able to see all these applications in your enterprise application list. Slide 34. So, as I explained earlier, you know, we're almost done. You know, there are some small changes which are required. And so, as I said, you know, the BPC portion of configuration wizard did not prompt us for the database name. So, we had to probably fix that one, unless if we are using, you know, BPEDB as the database for, you know, BPC tables and BPC messaging engine. And so we need to change three different, you know, source data sources, which is BPCSI bus data source, the BPEDB data source, and the BPCSI bus data source. Yeah, so we have to probably make these manual changes. Slide 35. In this step, you know, we have to select the JDBC provider that we, you know, choose earlier, and select the data source for service integration bus of, you know, the process choreographer. And, you know, so in this case, you know, if we have already configured a common database for all the messaging engines with different schemas, So we probably have to change from a default PPE DB database name to, you know, whatever the database name that we have created for the messaging engine. And this is for, you know, the SI bus data source configuration. And yeah, you should be able to, you know, navigate to the DB, you know, the resources, data providers, and, you know, the data sources, and choose and make the necessary changes. Slide 36. This is, you know, changing the BPE DB data source. Again, you know, select the JDBC provider that you choose earlier, and select the data source for process choreographer. And then, you know, you will be taken to the screen where you have the database name, which is set by default to BPE DB. So change the BPE DB data source if you happen to have a different database than, you know, BPE DB as the name of the database. You know, the data source that this needs modification is the data source for the business process, you know, choreographer. Slide 37. This one, you know, changing the service integration bus data store. So, you know, once we go and choose the bus and select, you know, the BPC service integration bus, if you go to the messaging engine and, you know, click on the messaging engine and, you know, choose data store, it will have IBM WS SIB as the schema name by default. And, you know, so if you have a different schema name for the BPC service integration bus, you may want to, like, you know, give that name, I mean, make those necessary changes and, you know, set those schema to a value that, you know, you are creating the schema for, you know, the business process choreographer service integration bus. And screen, slide 38. So we are almost, you know, we are actually pretty much done. And once you do those configurational changes and make those manual changes, necessary manual changes and applied, start the messaging engine cluster and, you know, process server cluster. And, you know, it should, you know, it should come up fine. And if you are interested in, depending on, you know, whether you want to go with a separate cluster for CEIR on the same cluster as WPS, you know, you can configure CEI. And slide 39. So these are the best practices, you know, choose the topology and collect all the requirement and the system information and, you know, your component distribution and use the production in our database system like DB2 or Oracle. You know, plan ahead and, you know, have enough time for the cluster setup and also understand, you know, the WebSphere application server 6, you know, clustering, especially, you know, if you are using WebSphere application server for a messaging engine cluster. Slide 40. So these are all, you know, some of the articles and red books that are available, you know, on IBM website, you know, which you can use as a reference for your, you know, setting up a cluster. So these, you know, some of these informations are very helpful. Slide 41. So in summary, the version 6.0.2 makes clustering a bit easier, especially with the business integration wizard. And plan for the current topology, and also understand the understand the implications, and also there are some developer works and red books available, and I think we are pretty much done. While creating these especially using the wizards, many of the resources get created and configured for us. Slide 42. And then I think we are open for the question and answering.
Thank you. If you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone. Again, that's star 1 if you do have a question. And we do have a question from Maripal.
Yes. Okay, this is Mariappan from Portland General. I have a question regarding clustering the messaging engines. I think this is on slide 13. Sarat spoke about the partition queues, and because of the partition queues there may be stranded messages and no consumers to consume that. I'm not quite clear about that. So I understand for each active messaging engine, there's going to be a standby messaging engine on the same cluster number or in a different cluster number. So in that case, how we get this stranded messaging scenario? Sarat could explain, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the question, Mariappan. So in this topology, right, you have a partition queue messaging engine, and it's one of n policy. So you could set up a policy where you have an active messaging engine on each of the cluster members, right?
Okay.
And say for some reason the messaging engine one on the node one crashes and fails over to the messaging engine two server, which is node two, correct?
Okay.
That case, so the messages which would have been already sent to the node one, where the messaging engine one was already there, if there was an issue, some of the messages in the queue would be stranded. And also, make a note here, right? When the messaging engine fails over to the second node, in that case, we may not really have any consumer for the messaging engine one. The reason being, all these consumers, right, they all work on the base of connections. So When you have a fully operational and functional cluster techniques, a fully operational cluster, the consumer would have already established its connection to the messaging engine one on node one, right? So when the messaging engine fails over to node two, then all those connections and will not be released back to the connection pool. So you might end up with having no consumer for messaging engine one, and at the same time this is like the possibility of getting into that state. But if there were not many connections, if there are a consumer waiting for a new connection, once the failover happens, it might get connected to the messaging engine one on node two. But if there were connections already established to messaging engine one on node one, then unless you purge those connections, which is kind of not very easy to do that, I kind of remember that there might be a command You could do that for purging the connections, which is dangerous though, using the WSAdmin command. But to simply answer your question, it is in a doubtful situation where, you know, the messaging engine fails over to the second node. In that case, you know, you might end up with, you know, the stranded message on the first node, because the consumer, you know, would be still connected to the first node.
Okay, so if the, you know, the clients are directly connecting to individual application server, how do we ensure load balancing? Like when you cluster, you would, you know, normally expect your clients to connect to the bus and not to the individual, you know, messaging partition. Like when you cluster, you expect the clients to be load balanced. So, I'm not very clear on that.
True, and that is, you know, that is one of the limitations you have with this partition queues, you know, and this was even true even in our, the MQ clustering, the MQ server or the MQ series clustering. You know, we pretty much had similar issue, if I remember correctly, in our, you know, when we were working on the ICS world. And this is, you know, kind of the same behavior here. At the same time, you know, you might be lucky, you know, you may not have many connections to the, you may not have many consumer connections already established to the messaging engine one on the node one. In that case, you know, the consumers will get establishing their new connections to the messaging engine one on node two. And that is, you know, this is kind of a limitation, you know, with this topology.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1. We have a question from Ahmed.
Yeah, this is Syed from 3M. I just have a question for slide 16 and 17. You talk about the databases for the process server. I just want to know from the WebSphere portal perspective how it was related and database it will interact for the process server.
Hey, sir, did you ask about the WebSphere portal point of view with a process server?
Yeah, that's what we are implementing and...
I have not, you know, extensively worked on the portal server, but from what I understand, the portal server, you know, would be relying on the process server, you know, underneath of it, and it should not be much different from the database configuration we have for, you know, in the slide 16 and 17. It should be pretty much the same. For because, you know, it would be the underlying server would be the process server in your setup, right?
No, actually, in the portal installation, process server is integrated, and the databases which you shown, I don't use any of them in my installation. Instead of that, I use the native portal databases, the community and customization, JCR, and all that. So I want to know in which database the process server hits in the portal, because I didn't create any of the databases which you mentioned in slide 16 for process server.
Okay. In that case, you know, I have not worked on the portal server, so I may not be the right person to answer that. But, you know, if you need information, then, you know, I can, you know, get back to you. Probably I will try to contact the portal guys and, you know, try to understand how different is their structure than the process server.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your help.
Welcome.
And there appear to be no further questions at this time.
At this time, we would like to conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today. And thank you, Sharath, for presenting today.